Hi, I'm Brenda Burns, and this is the Vienna Assembly of God Sermons Podcast. Thank you for listening. It's an honor to share this time with you. Learn more about the ministries of Vienna Assembly of God at viennaag.com. Please leave your comments and reviews on the platform where you're listening. And now for today's message. To all the dads that are here in the room, any that are joining online, happy Father's Day to you, and I hope it is a blessed day. I also want to acknowledge that today is Juneteenth. Putting together June 19 and into one word, Juneteenth. It celebrates the announcement of freedom, finally reaching Galveston, Texas on June 19th, 1865, which was 2.5 months after the end of the Civil War. So hear me, the Civil War is over, but the slaves in that area were still living enslaved lives because the announcement hadn't made it to them. And it was 2.5 years after the actual issuing of the Emancipation Proclamation. And so, as I said in my message to you this past week in an email, it's very meaningful for all of us to celebrate our nation ending slavery. This is important, and it is something to be joyous about. It is something to say, I am so thankful that there's a date that can be marked that, yes, slavery was ended. Rachel this morning was reflecting on how it is really a great metaphor for us in our salvation, and it's just powerful, and I just wanted to share what she was saying. You know, freedom has been won for all of us by Jesus Christ, amen? But it still has to be announced. We have to make it known that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and that there is forgiveness of sins and deliverance from bondage is available to everyone. The news still has to be announced. There are those who don't know the good news yet. And it's even once we get the news and we receive Christ's salvation, and we live in that new freedom, there's still work to be done to truly live free. The oppressors will still try to put you into bondage. And so there is still work to be done for the freedom and the good news of Jesus Christ to go forward. And I just think that's a powerful metaphor to think about. And I just love it. So thank you for that, Rachel. And I just say happy Juneteenth to everyone. I want to invite you to have your Bible ready with you today. We are figuring it out, what our summer template is going to be, and I honestly don't know whether there's going to be scripture on the screen or not, but what I'm going to say is have your Bible ready in case. We will be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. The theme for today and for the next few Sundays is deliver us from evil. Now, as I said in this morning's message I sent to you, I have felt this heart cry growing in strength and in volume that we all desperately desire to be free from evil. I realize that this phrase comes from one of the most famous texts in Scripture, the place where Jesus taught us how to pray, which has become known as the Lord's Prayer. So Craig and I pray this together out loud every night before going to sleep. We began this practice when we learned it was something that our dear friends Hector and Virginia Allen used to do. And we've been doing it now for a really long time. I don't know, Craig, if you remember. It's over 20 years for sure, that this is something we do every night. The cry, though, to be delivered from evil has a gravity to it that is different. It isn't as simple as bless me or help me. Whether it's with a project at work or a test at school or a really difficult Wordle day, you know, how many have like said, Lord, help me, I'm down to word six, okay? As we look through the Lord's Prayer, we will see that Jesus invites us to make a variety of requests, and he encourages us to trust God in every situation. So don't hear me saying anything different than that. It's good to make all of our requests known to God in every area of life. But this request, deliver us from evil, it is profound. It is also full of hope. So we are going to spend some time really unpacking this prayer and seeing how Jesus teaches us to approach coming down to this final request, deliver us from evil. It's interesting that this is that all of it moves towards this final request. So let's look at the text. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation first. But then I'm also going to read it from the King James, because that is how so many of us have memorized this prayer. Let's look at it. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. This is the New Living Translation. And it's Jesus talking here. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Now let's listen to it in the King James Version. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, I pray for your anointing on these words today, on our hearts and our ears and our minds to receive good seed from the Word of God, and that we would truly grow in you and in our ability to pray, deliver us from evil. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I consider the evil that has been on display in recent days, I am so thankful for the hope that this prayer gives. The shooting in Buffalo, New York, inspired by racial hatred. The massacre in Uvalde, inspired by we honestly don't know what. Several other shootings in various places around the country. Even yesterday in Tyson's Corner Mall, there were gunshots. Thankfully, no injuries. The threats and the hateful comments that are made to a variety of public officials, evil seems to have been unleashed in our culture with anger and vulgarity applauded as though it is a patriotic badge. Our public discourse has devolved into just plain meanness. We have lost the ability to disagree without being disagreeable. In that process, we dehumanize those who think differently, believe differently, act differently, look differently, vote differently. Take your pick. But the meanness and the cruel speech and the disrespect, it is having a numbing and a scarring effect on our souls. And I pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. Esau Macaulay is an author and an Anglican priest whom I follow his materials. And I read his book, Josie Johnson's Hair and the Holy Spirit, on Pentecost Sunday. He is a contributing opinion writer for the New York Times. And in an article about the gun control debate, he expounded on the Christian understanding of evil. He noted that the official response by the governor of Texas to Uvalde began not with policy, but with theology. Governor Abbott stated, "Evil swept across Uvalde today." Now, I highly recommend the full article, but for this morning, I just want to highlight his summary of the Christian understanding of evil. Why was that a theological statement? Well, because he points out it's a basic teaching of Jesus Christ that evil resides in the human heart. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. That's from Matthew 15, 19. He says, Christians believe humans do wicked things because there is something within us that is broken. He goes on to point out, historically, Christianity has taught that evil arises from three interlocking realities, often called the flesh, the devil, and the world. When Christians in many traditions are baptized, they explicitly reject all three sources of evil. A part of what it is to follow Christ is to renounce evil. To have this understanding, we need to look at this. There are these three components: individual, the flesh; spiritual, the devil and demons; and systemic, the world. All three of these are a part of these interlocking realities of evil. To have a full deliverance from evil, when we are praying, deliver us from evil, we need to pay attention to these interlocking realities. We must acknowledge, every single one of us, our own individual propensity to evil. Now, I know some of you, you got some angel wings sprouting back here, right? Behind your back, and you don't have any evil ideas or thoughts or actions, or right? Is there somebody like that in this room? Or does every one of us face temptation on a regular basis towards some kind of evil? We all have to battle and reject the evil of the flesh. That is a true thing. We also must remain alert that there is a spiritual enemy, spiritual forces that are evil. I was on a very important call this week with somebody dealing with some serious things, and all hell broke loose at one moment, didn't it, Craig? It was like all of a sudden there's a leak in the building that there's never been, you know, falling down into the daycare, and there's something not working outside with the air conditioner repair guys. And I mean, it was like one thing after another just all happened, not to mention the fact that even trying to get that call made was a super hassle. And I am convinced that God, that the devil was at war against this situation, where God was working to bring some solutions to a situation, and there is a spiritual enemy. Have you ever sensed that in your life? For whatever reason, you're trying to move forward in God, and all of a sudden, there's something you're banging into, and it comes from all directions. We don't need to forget there is evil in the sense of a spiritual enemy. And we must remember that we live in a world that is not the kingdom of God. Sorry, United States of America, but you are not the kingdom of God. And those of you that are joining from anywhere else in the world, the kingdom of God is not of this world. This world system is corrupt. It is evil. And it is a system. There are ways in which evil thrives through systemic measures. And for whatever reason, that's actually become a controversial thing to say. And let's hear it. It is the historic Christian understanding. Evil is in the flesh, evil is in the spirit, and evil is in the world. And we are to renounce all of that. Today, we're going to look at the first part of this prayer, because there's just so much to get from this prayer before we get all the way down to this last request. But as we grasp these things, it's going to help us to be more confident and sure as we pray, deliver us from evil. So how does this prayer begin? He teaches us, Jesus says, to start our prayer, "Our Father in heaven." So just from that first phrase, "Our Father," I see three things that I want to point out to you. First, our. This prayer is given to us as though it is to be prayed by an us, a we, a plural, our Father. Of course, each one can pray it on your own, but even in the recitation, we are acknowledging our belonging to the beloved community. We are affirming that we are not alone, but that we approach the very throne of God in concert with others. And we also admit that we do not have exclusive access to God. It's not just me and everybody else, can't make it. No, all of us, our Father. The way has been opened up to all who will call upon the name of the Lord. So very powerfully and profoundly, with the very first word, our, Jesus is showing us our place in the community and our place in terms of level ground at the foot of the cross. All of us are given this invitation to pray, "Our Father." So the phrase, "Our Father." So I love that I get to talk about this on Father's Day. Craig and I have had some interesting conversations about the gender of God. Some of God's names include aspects that would be considered female or feminine rather than male. The reality is this: God is not gendered in the way that humans are gendered. And That is a little freaky to consider. Amen? It is. Some of us have really painful histories with our families of origin. So I speak from personal experience on this. If the relationship of father is one that brings up drastic wounds and challenging emotions, it might not feel like intimacy to you to pray "Our Father." This past week, Rich Velotis posted a summary of the Lord's Prayer. And I was like, well, there's an affirmation that, you know, moving forward with the Lord's Prayer. But what he gave each little phrase a one-word explanation, and he called this part, "Our Father," intimacy, that it's showing intimacy. But it may not feel like that if you've got this troubled history. So here's what I want you to hear, especially on this Father's Day. Please know that you have grace and space to process with God. There are many other ways that he is described in Scripture. And I wrote this before singing this song today, but it's the truth. It's our helper, our shepherd, our healer, our rock, our strong tower, a nurturing mother hen, the door, the bread of life, the resurrection, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb, and many, many more, many ways that God describes himself for us. Please don't allow yourself to stay alienated from God because you're still working through issues in life that include your human father. You're not alone. You are not alone. And God understands, and he gives you grace, and he gives you space to process that reality. But if you could draw, imagine, construct, craft, whatever, an image of perfection where Father was everything possibly good and nothing possibly bad. This is the hope that is held out here. Jesus invites us to commune with Almighty God at the intimate level of a perfect relationship. It is really astounding and humbling to consider. The third thing I see just in those first two words, "Our Father," by starting it this way, Jesus is teaching us and affirming that when we pray, we are not praying to a void. We are not praying to an impersonal power out there. It's not like trying to find the right place to plug into the grid, okay? We are praying to a person, the person of God. And he is teaching that to us by just that first two words, "Our Father." The next phrase that he says is, "Keep your name holy," or "Hallowed be thy name," from the King James. And there's a lot packed into that too. So when Moses came down the mountain, you remember this story? He comes down the mountain with the tablets in his hands where the finger of God has written the laws himself onto the tablets. The third commandment that was written there is this: "You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name." So part of keeping God's name holy is for us to not misuse his name. The King James says it this way, do not use his name in vain. So with our focus on how this prayer leads us into forward into praying, deliver us from evil, it's important to consider this point. It is hard to pray, deliver us from evil, just a few steps away from having used God's name to support evil. Part of what you will learn if you watch that Juneteenth documentary is the reality of how people try to exploit the name of God to support brutal slavery. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The scripture says we will not go unpunished if we misuse God's name. And my friends, I'm not talking about 1865 right now. I'm talking about 2022. There are people still clinging to injustice, to malice, to hateful speech, and claiming that they represent God. Do not misuse the name of the Lord. So, when we are praying to God, asking Him to keep His name holy, in the commandment, He told us to keep His name holy. But Jesus is asking us to pray to God to keep His name holy. What are we asking? I think part of what this is revealing is that we need God's help in order to obey the third commandment. We're not able to pull this off very well on our own. We need humility and mercy to honor God's name, to choose holiness. Hallowed means holy, holiness over power. To be reverent rather than foolish and mocking, and to surrender ourselves and our will to God's way and His will. To be wise enough not to misuse His name and to not claim we are speaking for Him if we actually are not. Be very, very careful in ever tagging something, thus saith the Lord. Don't claim to be speaking for God when you may not be. Do not misuse the name of the Lord. His name being kept holy is a part of what gets us down to being delivered from evil. So to end today, we're going to give some space for prayer. I think it would be a little odd to be speaking to you about the Lord's Prayer and you not have a moment to pray, okay? That's what we're going to end with. The ultimate deliverance from evil was accomplished by Jesus Christ on the cross. He took on our sins, the individual. He accomplished victory over the devil, the spiritual. And He has overcome the world, the systemic. He offers restored relationship with God through Himself to every one of us. So I want to first ask, have you received that gift of love? Have you said yes to His offer of freedom? It is as simple as calling on His name, believing in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and confessing Jesus is Lord. I'm going to lead us in a prayer for that, and then flow into a time of prayer focused on what we've learned today. Okay, so we're going to pray first for those that want to say yes to Jesus. And those of you that are in the room, it's a good practice to bow our heads in prayer. You can hold your hands up like this. That's a sign of openness. You can stand, you can kneel, but I'm inviting you now to take a posture of prayer. I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for teaching us to pray and for inviting us into such a privileged communication with you. It's such an honor to be taken before the throne of God in prayer. Anyone that is not said yes to Jesus, please just follow me in your heart, out loud if you want to, in this prayer. Dear God, thank you for loving me and sending your Son, Jesus, to die for me. I believe he is your Son and that you have raised him from the dead. I accept Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to invite each of us now to spend a moment in prayer, focusing on the word our. Pray for your community. Pray for your church community. God, I thank you that we do not come to you alone, but in a mighty concert of your people through all time and all places. Revelation teaches us that you have the prayers of the saints coming before you like incense, that there are golden bowls where you keep the prayers. And I thank you that we are a part of an amazing community. I pray for this community right here, that you will send those that are meant to be a part of this church, that you will send those that are meant to be a part of a team leading us forward. I pray for this community, O Lord, our Father. Next, I want to ask you to pray for a closer relationship with God. So wherever you are in terms of how close you are to God, there is always space to move closer. For some of you, that is a constant desire. For others, you're not sure. But I would ask you today to pray about at least the possibility. I think there are some that in your mind, in your understanding, you acknowledge you want to be closer to God, but in your heart and emotions, the feelings aren't there. And so I ask you to tell God about that. And there are those that have faced devastating disappointments. And it's really challenged your ability to trust God. And if you're still listening to me right now, I ask you to just tell that to God. And lastly, I want us to pray about honoring His name. If you feel like just in common language, common conversation, joking around, you've gotten too close to not honoring God's name, I ask you to think about that and ask for God's help. And Father, I pray for all of us that your mercy and grace would be with us. Forgive us for any way that we have misused your name. I pray that you would help us to only speak what you tell us to speak, to only repeat what is good, what the Word of God is saying. And to not speak as though it was something from you when it isn't. Please give us mercy, O God. And we pray, deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name. Amen. Take a couple of deep breaths. There is something about bringing our concerns and needs to the Lord and praying through what we've heard in the Word that is a refreshing and a cleansing and a settling. Pray for that seed to take root. So we're coming to the end, and I'm going to send you out with a blessing. Are you ready to receive it? If you're in the room, how about standing up with me? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, why not share it with a friend? I invite you to subscribe at Apple Podcasts and our YouTube channel. We'd love to hear your feedback and comments. So glad that you were with us today. Look forward to seeing you next week. At Vienna Assembly of God, we love God, others, and life, and we're leading our community in a growing relationship with God.